Hey, listen up, idiots. This is your spoiler warning. Also, you might get offended, so warning for that too, you idiots.
Hello, my name is Kyle.
And my name is Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form...
Experience Grind Podcast.
The only podcast that is willing to buck the trend. I don't know where I'm... fuck it, dude.
I like it. You're already going to this with a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
That's the way you should go into any review for anything ever with chip on your shoulder.
Hi, everybody. My name is Kyle.
My name is Ryan.
And we're going to be talking about a little movie that is the most talked about movie currently at this point in time.
Boo to a Madea Halloween.
Halloween?
Halloween.
Oh, wait. Keep going. But we didn't do this thing.
Let's keep going. I've talked about Madea. How am I going to keep going from Madea?
I forgot we're live streaming, and when we live stream, we have to wear live stream hats.
Oh, shit. Okay.
So you have the choice between party with sluts.
Oh, shit.
Or classy ass bitch.
I'm going to have to go with classy ass bitch.
Out of the two of us, you're the classy ass bitch.
Yeah.
And I would party with sluts.
I would not party with sluts.
All right. So we have stream hats now.
Fuck yeah, we do.
And now we can properly talk about
it. Smaller.
I like it just big. How you just swim.
Do you?
It. Yeah, it's fine.
Well, I already changed it, so I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I fucked it up already.
All right, buddy.
Hallelujah.
I do not get your and Hartman's love of a Madea movie. But I think I will a little bit more after we talk about this episode today.
Shit. Man, I don't know what it is about Madea. It's not good, and it's one of those things I can watch, and I recognize it's not good.
See, to me, it's like your opinion on Sharknado. Like, I know this is garbage, and it's made as garbage for garbage, and people like it.
Oh, no.
That's the way I see
No. Like, I think there are probably some Madea movies that qualify as that, but I largely think Tyler Perry thinks he is coming from, like, a place of wisdom. And, like, he knows so much, and he's handing down these life lessons to you. And me watching him, like, your life lesson is just, like, go to church. And that's it. Like, and that's all it always revolves around.
I was going
to
say that solves every problem in a Tyler Perry movie, right?
It really does. I go to church
and you're fine.
Like, there's a movie with Denise Richards and Eugene Levy. I probably talked about this before. But, like, he goes to church and literally finds a solution to, like, his tax problems and everything. Like, he's just in this, like, typical black church with everybody, like, singing and getting real loud. And he's just, like, in the moment, he goes, oh? And he, like, has this epiphany from God, I guess, that figures out, like, oh, Denise Richards is just, like, somebody who's in it only for the money. And this is my issue with the taxes. And I think this is Madea Goes to Jail. Is that movie? I'm not sure. It might not be. It might be like a Madea Christmas. They all blend together.
They really do.
But like really, it always simplifies to family is important, church is important, and that's it. Like any Tyler Perry movie that does not fall into that category, it's not a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah.
Like it's another movie. Like he didn't have anything to do with it.
Tyler Perry. I did like him in one movie.
Gone Girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gone Girl. He's great in Gone Girl.
Fantastic in Gone Girl.
What the hell are you doing, Tyler Perry?
I kind of liked Alex Ross. Or Alex Cross, not Alex Ross.
Is that the one where fucking Matthew Shepard is the bad guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that movie too.
I thought it was pretty good. Yeah. Not great. Maybe not a good movie. Enjoyable, very entertaining. Like it was pretty by the numbers and pretty average numbers. I think I'm having a slight stroke, so this is gonna be perfect for a Black Panther episode.
It is.
Let's just have a stroke halfway through.
All right, so total just the worst segue ever. Ryan, we're talking about Black Panther today.
We are.
Yes,
we are. You say as you are segueing into something and then take a sip on your beer.
I am.
So we're talking about Black Panther.
Black Panther is about a Black Panther.
Oh, my God.
So what
fantastic.
I want to know is, you know, as a kid, I don't know if you're like me, but I was real into animals as a kid.
Where is this going? Okay.
And as a kid, my favorite of the I liked the big cats, all of them. So, man, this was, like, I wanted to be, like, a veterinarian, and then I wanted to, like, be a zoo veterinarian for a while when I was, like, in third to fifth grade.
Sure.
But I wanted to, like...
I love the journey of these intro topics.
What, Ryan, what was your favorite big cat? Or what is still? Yeah, man. This is better than my Star Wars. Yeah, that's my intro question. How does that not relate? You tell me how that doesn't relate to the episode today.
What's your favorite big cat?
Yeah.
Oh, my fucking God.
Did you not watch, like, Discovery Channel and shit when you were a kid?
I don't think I like big cats. I'm not drawn to them.
Did you like animals at all when you were a kid, though?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like what I was did into, like monkeys and, like, the different types of monkeys. Polar bears are a big favorite of mine because they're this weird isolationist little species out in the middle of nowhere, and, like, their life is fucking miserable and pain. So they live through it.
Would you say that the polar bear is the most nihilist of all the bears?
It's pretty nihilist,
It
man.
Is, right?
You see them getting those ice floats only to drift off into nothing and just die?
Yeah,
they're pretty nihilist. They're badass. Polar bears. That's polar what it bears is. Polar bears
are pretty fucking kick-ass.
My favorite kind of large cat is polar bear.
Polar bears are badass. Do you like, what is your favorite bear?
It's polar bear. Yeah.
I like the grizzly bear more.
Because it's more vicious?
Yeah, and they're just fucking mean and scary and badass, man.
Sure. But I'm glad you didn't go with panda bear.
Fuck a panda bear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck panda bear.
Fuck pandas. They're right?
The worst. They are the worst.
They are. They just
panda bears are
they eat on bamboo and think they're so fucking better than all the other bears. Bamboo is the animal kingdom equivalent of gluten.
Did you
know this?
Did you like The Lion King?
Growing up? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Was it your favorite Disney movie as a kid?
No.
What was?
Aladdin.
Aladdin?
Yeah.
Like,
I loved Aladdin growing up. I loved the genie. I loved the story of the prince who is not a prince, and it's about, like, the inner character versus, like, what you have. You know, as a lower middle class to poor white kid growing up, I kind of empathize with that.
You related, like, to Aladdin, a poor Egyptian.
I did. I of all the Disney characters, I related to Aladdin the most. Yeah, absolutely. All
right, man. I liked The Lion King as a kid. I hated Beauty and the Beast.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't get it.
I hated it because when you are from a poor middle-class family. Single parent, though, was mine. Your mom can't fucking hang out with you during the summer. And I had to go to, like, a day summer camp every day with my sister.
Did you guys have, like, the summer movies that you go to the movie theater? But they were, like, the cheap movie, like, the cheap kid movies?
No, these people were even cheaper because they had a TV, like, in the playroom. And after lunch, they didn't even buy movies. They'd tell the kids to bring in movies from home. And, dude, we watched fucking Beauty and the Beast every day for, like, 2.5 weeks one time because nobody brought in new movies.
Man, in North Carolina, we had one of our local theaters, I think, that has shut down for free. Like, you don't have to pay anything to go into these.
Kids movies during the day, yeah.
Yeah, every week there was a different kids movie. So you see, like, The Brave Little Toaster and then... I really can't think of any other kid movie I watch at that theater. They all just blended together. I don't know, but.
So I remember one of the things that I brought in to watch was Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Yeah.
And we couldn't watch Ninja Turtle movies after that because afterwards the boys would go outside and just do karate to each other and hurt each other.
Yeah.
Totally happened.
Yeah.
I remember some kid brought in Howard the Duck. Huh. And that got shut off like 10 minutes in when he sees the duck titties in the play duck.
The duck titties is so quick. Like, yeah. It's in the first 5 minutes.
But then he also blasts through a wall where another duck is taking a shower and you see those titties. And that's when the fucking lady was like, nope, that's it. And she fucking shut it off.
It's really weird.
I remember that kid. He was a white trash dirty kid. Can you believe that? He brought in fucking Howard the Duck.
He probably rewound that VHS tape enough that it wore out. Just looking at those duck titties. Just
I did that to Tango and Cash.
What? There's titties in Tango and Cash?
In like the first 5 minutes. It's great.
Who's in Tango and Cash? I don't know if I've seen this movie.
You've never seen Tango and Cash?
I might not have.
It's motherfucking Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen Tango and Cash.
We might do a double feature when Casey's here.
All right.
Because, man, fucking Tango and Cash is like a quintessential 80s movie. And Stallone and Kurt Russell. It's part of WrestleFest. We would get to it at some point eventually anyways.
Yeah, it's on the list now because I think unofficially we are the podcast of Kurt Russell.
We kind of took that mantle from Tad Pog because they did Stargate and they started WrestleFest. But we have kind of taken that mantle.
And Stargate, that's fine. Well, that's not peak Russell,
no,
though.
No, but they did Stargate the video game for the SNES, which was atrocious.
I don't even know that video game. I don't even think I've seen it.
Every movie had fucking gaming tie-ins.
I remember those. I don't remember a Stargate video game, but that's fascinating.
I totally love to do Stargate. Man, I started this whole thing off. What is your favorite big cat? I know you don't like big cats.
Yeah, I said polar bears. That's my answer. Polar bears. That doesn't count. Done. End.
What else? Did you know that the polar or the fucking Black Panther and the leopard are the same animal?
What?
Yeah.
What?
Black Panthers even have leopard spots. Did you know this?
I don't know. I didn't know.
And under certain light, you can see it because they're not fully black. A Black Panther is just a substitute of the leopard species. It's not a different type of big cat. It's just a leopard.
I did not know this at all. Why would I know that?
I don't know. I knew it. I've known it since I was like fucking six, man.
Because you were looking at like Black Panther like infographics. Not infographics. Like, I don't know. Magazines? Articles? I don't know.
I had this little green box.
Do you have zoo books as a kid?
I never had zoo books. I wanted it. But man, I can't think of the name of these cards, but I will and I'll put it on Facebook.
I think I know what you're talking about. Blue Box. TV.
It wasn't Blue Box. It's not the name of it.
It was a blue box. It was like a light blue box.
It was a green box. It might have been Blue Box by your age. You are like, what, 4 years younger than me?
Shit, I am. Yeah. Yeah. I always forget that I'm significantly younger than you.
It's fine. I don't.
I'm sorry. You don't.
No, it was this fucking green box with like all these...
Because you're too busy partying with sluts. That's why.
Yeah, that is true.
That's why.
It's all these animals, and it was cool because it had like a really nice picture of the animal on the front, and then you turn it around, and it had like all the different animal facts.
I think I remember these.
Yeah, you bought them off TV. I remember my mom got them for me. I was super stoked on it.
Yes.
Never got zoo books, though.
No, I never got zoo books either, but I remember these flashcards. I really think like either I had these or my sister had them.
Yeah.
But it was pretty
common. But I love, dude. I would fucking just look at those all the time. They're like the size of a Polaroid almost.
Yeah,
I
think
great.
So. Yeah, to be honest, animals never really garnered my attention growing up. Like I was always interested in like the made up animals or like or dinosaurs even something that we don't have.
I love dinosaurs.
The atypical things.
I
loved
animals though, like all animals.
I did not.
Because I put early on together that like animals are related and like the animals we have now are similar to dinosaurs and shit. And I like dinosaurs. I like sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Like all that shit. Mm-hmm. I'm really terrified of sharks.
Are you really?
Like to a bad degree.
Dude, I kicked a shark once.
What?
You know this, right? I told you this story.
I don't think I remember this story.
Yeah, I fucking kicked a shark.
Maybe I do.
Yeah. When we were, so my wife and I, we had our honeymoon in Costa Rica. And we were swimming on the east side of Costa Rica because we had a tour that went to like all the different corners. And we'd spend like 2 or 3 days in each section. And we were on the east and it was our last section of the trip. And it was like this big, I fucked that up.
It's fine.
That's going to happen. But we had this big resorty place, so I just thought, like, whatever, like, ocean's cool, everything's cool, like, you're not probably going to get into any shit or weird stuff. And I was swimming, and there was nobody out in the water except for, like, a man who was maybe, like, 12 feet away from me, maybe slightly more than that, right? And this big wave comes, and it kind of knocks me over, and as I'm, like, kicking to right myself up, like, I hit something really hard with my foot, like, I kick it fucking really hard, and immediately I'm like, oh shit, I just kicked this man, like I'm gonna have to get up and apologize real quickly. And I pop out of the water, and that guy is now like 20 feet away. He is not even close to me. I was like, what the fuck? And I look back at like the wave that's cresting back, and there's a silhouette of a shark swimming away from me. I kicked a fucking, like, it was like a big shark. It was like maybe like a 5 foot
Still, dude, they're mad to fuck you up.
I think I kicked a fucking shark. I got knocked underwater. I kicked a fucking shark, like, real hard because, like, I was panicking to get up. And I just see the shark going away in this wave. And I'm just like, all right, let's go back to the beach real quick. And I'm very intent to not, like, say, like, shark like you would, like, bomb in an airplane. Like, sure. I don't want to alarm people.
Sure.
So, like, my walk is, like, very brisk and quick. And it's, like, just, like...
But you're also in the water and...
Yeah. Yeah, so you're moving super slow, but, like, with intent, with every fucking step. It's getting more and more frantic. And I get to the beach, and, like, Laura has this, like, concerned look on her face. She's like, what is happening? And it's like, shark, 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 shark. And I'm like, I don't want to say it. I don't want to say it loud. I think I kicked a fucking shark. And that was it. I mean, there's nothing more, like, we talked about, and she was like, yeah, you maybe kicked a shark. I don't know. But, like... I hit something really hard. There was no one around me at all. And I saw, like, a shark silhouette in the wave after I stood up.
Pretty likely you kicked
I think I kicked the shark. Yeah. I think I kicked the fucking shark. I don't know. That was it. And then I got, like, itchies because, you know, that sand has, like, a bunch of lice in it.
Sure.
And shit. And that was the worst. Costa Rica, you're a beautiful shithole. I love you. The end.
I don't want to get political, but is that not exactly what Donald Trump said about it? Did he not call a bunch of countries shitholes?
I did say beautiful, though. It's an experience I loved and I will treasure forever. I got to San Jose and they were like, don't go outside your hotel room ever because you will get, your wife will get raped, she will get molested, you will get held up for money, or maybe stabbed. So, I don't know. Shithole might be right. Because
I will say this,
they really made us feel like it was not safe to go outside after, like, 7.
Having spent a good part of the last 20-plus years watching a whole lot of porno, there's a lot of beautiful shitholes out there.
I was like, that's your niche, is beautiful shitholes, yeah, right?
That's kind of my thing.
That's
my
you go into Pornhub and you search for beautiful shitholes.
You'll find them.
And you're like, God damn it, not Costa Rica. I meant the other I've beautiful shithole. Ah!
So to answer this question,
what about
I posed
you? Yes,
a long time ago.
This cat.
My favorite big cat and always will be the Bengal tiger.
Oh, shit. Okay.
It's a giant badass cat. Should be the king of the jungle. Tigers are the only cats found in the jungle. The lion is found on the plains of the Serengeti and Sub-Saharan Africa. Not anywhere in a fucking jungle. But sure, it can be king of the jungle because it has a hairy fucking face. I have disdain for lions, by the way.
Apparently.
Tigers could kick the shit out of a lion. Tigers are the biggest cat in the big cat family.
Are you just like a hipster going for the underdog here?
No, I just love tigers and tigers
Why?
A lot.
Because they're faster?
Know. No, they're not faster. Cheetah's the fastest land animal on the planet, and it's also a big cat.
I don't care about animals at all. Like, I don't know if you can tell this.
I got big cat facts, Ryan.
I don't know about this shit.
I got tons of big cat facts. Love big cats.
Okay, well,
and here's the thing. I hate house cats.
Why?
I don't know. They just
because they're
me.
Like the inbred versions that will never be as great as they
but
could be.
Here's the thing. The thing I do like about house cats is that you do see hints of that big cat.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes,
a lot of times.
Yeah.
I mean, generally, big cats are also big, fat, lazy pieces of shit. I mean, they always just lay around constantly. But, you know, you see that cat in the yard, like, stalking a bird or a mouse. And,
sure.
I mean, you see that big... It's fucking badass to see these apex predators. I loved the Discovery Channel as a kid, man. So I watched a lot of that shit.
Yeah.
I had a stuffed tiger, though, as a kid growing up. He went through, like, surgery with me, and that tiger was, like, my best friend for a long time.
I never had a stuffed animal.
No?
That really meant anything to me. Like, I have, I still have, like, the teddy bear that I grew up with.
Yeah.
But, like, I have no memories and no attachments to it.
No.
At all. And it's just like, yeah. And you look at this bear that is like 20 plus years old. It's immaculate. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Nothing, anything. Because I didn't fucking care. It just sat on my bed when I went to bed. And that was it. I never played with it. I didn't care. I don't know. Animals just didn't do it for me. Unless they were like, again, mythical or weird or like ancient. Like
what
dinosaurs or something.
What mythical animal did you like?
A Bigfoot's. Like,
okay, so
Loch Ness.
Tying back into the
I got all into that shit. Like, I never got into, like, real stuff.
Like, Minotaurs or, like...
Oh, sure, yeah.
Pegasus.
Yeah, anytime like, those popped up in, like, movies or books, like, had my full attention.
I was really big into the Greek gods because of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, Jason and the Argonauts and Last of the Titans.
Fuck, yes. Jason
Ray
and the Argonauts.
Stop motion.
Yes. Yeah, those skeletons, the Kraken in that first one was great.
Yep.
Any of that shit's great. The Medusa. I remember the Medusa in Jason and the Argonauts was, or maybe that was Clash. I don't remember.
Maybe that was, I think
that
is
It might have been Clash, yeah. But like that was fantastic. And I always dug that shit. Yeah. But like real animals, I can't give a fuck about.
No.
That said, I do like Planet Earth.
Yeah, right.
Planet Earth, and we are watching through Planet Earth 2 right now.
You know what's great about Planet Earth 2, dog?
What's that?
It's in 4K.
Is it?
Yeah, bro.
I don't know.
It was baller shit.
I don't got a 4K TV, but it still looks good.
It does still look really good. I like those. I like Planet Earth 1 with Sigourney Weaver narrating. You remember that? I played on the Discovery Channel.
I've seen Planet Earth 1. I did not know it was Sigourney Weaver narrating, huh?
It was, man.
All right.
We watched that shit. They'd play 2 episodes every Sunday.
Yeah.
We'd get together at my buddy's house, man, and get stoned as shit and watch 2 hours of fucking Planet Earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
It was good shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Planet Earth 2. All that shit, man.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the fucking Earth, man.
But we kind of are.
We're not talking about big cats, man.
But we kind of are.
We are going to talk about a little movie.
It's very tiny. Made
small,
no money
small
this weekend.
Indie flick. Nobody liked it.
Nobody. One of the worst of the year.
We're going to talk about Black Panther.
Yes. As opposed to White Tiger.
Yeah.
Which will come soon. White Tiger.
Is that the biopic of the tiger that ate the fuck out of Siegfried and or Roy?
Oh my god, I was making a Marvel reference, but I want to see that movie. I want to see that tiger's journey to eat Siegfried and Roy.
It's
both of them.
Face.
Like fucking change history like Inglorious Bastards, just eat them both. Yeah, I
like
want to
that.
See that
okay.
movie. Yeah. Yes, no, it's sadly not that. But we are... What are we talking about, Kyle? What
talking about Black Panther.
That's right.
Starring...
Chadwick Boseman
and
Michael B. Jordan
and
Lupita Nyong'o
and one more
Andy Serkis.
I wasn't going with
Martin
him.
Freeman.
Who's the bald black chick with the spear?
Danai Gurira from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Michonne.
Yeah.
And Forest Whitaker's in here.
And Forest
luckily,
Whitaker,
very shortly.
And Martin Freeman.
Uh huh.
And yeah, I think that's it. No, you said Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah. I went for the main two first.
I just wanted to hear you say a bunch of
Danai Gurira.
African people's names. African American people's names.
None of these are nearly as hard to pronounce as Gugu Mbatha-Raw.
Or
that's the pinnacle, I
or
think.
Or also Denis Villeneuve.
I think even I was wrong in that correction. I think it's Denis Villeneuve.
I'm sure it is stupid.
But I know
French.
It's Denis. That's the only thing I know. It's his first name is Denis. And then it's a V word, like Vlamidia.
Vlamidia?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'll stick with it. Yeah, whatever. Right. Fuck it. I said it. We're gonna do it.
All right, Ryan. Black Panther. Give me a synopsis. Break this movie down, but not like in a discussion way.
Just the summary of what happens in the movie?
Like the trailer version.
Okay. T'Challa comes back to Africa, to Wakanda specifically, to reclaim the throne of King of Wakanda. But he is challenged by many, one including a usurper from America who wants to take the reins of the kingdom and then... distribute the wealth and technology to all the underserved minorities in the world.
That's a really, really nice, succinct synopsis of this movie. Very well done.
There you go.
I don't know where to start with this movie, man.
Yeah.
Like, where do you want to start with it?
I mean, we could talk about... I think this is a movie that cannot be talked about and not reference the cultural zeitgeist around it. Because this is, I mean, this is going to absolutely color your impression of the movie, I do think. Going into this movie, it is like 97-98% of Rotten Tomatoes. It is one of the highest critically lauded comic movies pretty much of all time. Not like, this is really high.
Right now, this movie is sitting above Citizen Kane on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is it really? Okay.
Just take that into effect.
Yes. And...
or into consideration.
And, man, okay, so... representation is actually a part of this movie. I do think the villain comes from a place of the representation, and it does touch upon this, and it is all relevant. But there is a zeitgeist, and there is this big hype train around this movie that this is the best Marvel Cinematic Universe movie you'll see, and this is the best comic book movie you'll see, and it's transcending the genre, and it's just this... ungodly experience you're going to have in the theaters. And it's not that. It's not. It is a very important movie. It does mean a lot to an underserved population when it comes to comic movies. And they're right. Like, it's the last big comic book hero we've had who is black is probably Blade. And he was very much an anti-hero. He wasn't an outright hero like Black Panther is. He is shades of gray. And so it is important to have this cultural, you know, spotlight shown on something that's not. And more importantly than any of this, just to make good, interesting movies, movies that I personally care about. I don't want to see the same plot over and over again. I don't want to see the same kind of archetypes over and over again. So in that way, Black Panther is very refreshing. It is very different. I think if you take away just even the black characters and like the movement around that, and you replace everybody in Black Panther with white characters, that's the fourth time I've hit this microphone, and it's going to happen again and again. I am so sorry. you replace them all with white characters. I still think this is very interesting from a narrative structure. There are things that happen like maybe halfway through the movie that like, I didn't see coming, and it's like, it is very different from the typical, like, three-act structure of a comic movie, and that's all very important, but it is, again, about representation. This movie is about the underserved African community. You have the villain who empathizes, and that's why he acts, is because of that. So it all kind of, it's this Ouroboros, if you will. It's a snake eating its own tail. It all kind of...
I like that reference.
It all plays together, but I do think because of this, some people are having a very hard time separating criticizing the film versus criticizing the movement or the intent behind the film.
Sure.
And I think the intent behind the film should be lauded. This is a great thing. We should celebrate. We should rejoice. But to say this is a perfect movie, even a perfect comic book movie, I don't think is fair. It's not. It is not a perfect movie by any stretch. And I do have several nitpicks and things to back this up. But what we do have, so I guess this is just turning into a summary, I guess. I don't know where it was going when I started, but that's what we're doing, goddammit. I do think this is a very good movie. Okay. Maybe not great. Maybe not as high as people are saying it is. But I do think there are a lot of good things in this. And I do think there is something to be praised, but it is not to be this holy, life-affirming, life-changing experience that everybody's saying it is in the theaters.
Okay.
Kyle, what do you think about Black Panther?
So I've been very stonewalled to you about it. But I think you still caught some glimpses. I want to come out and say, I don't hate Black Panther.
Okay.
I don't like Black Panther.
All right.
As a whole, it's a very meh film to me.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't strike a chord. I'll be honest, there were even times in the theater when I was kind of fucking bored. Like,
I'm curious as to when that was.
Okay, and I'll get
into this. Yeah.
But I don't think it's a bad movie. But yeah. I don't think it's a fucking great Harold Emick experience movie. Mm-hmm. I can't, you know, I'm not black. I can't speak for black people, but I don't think it was that impressive, and that's fine.
Yeah.
To me, this movie was on par with, like, the first Thor.
Oh, I think it's better than the first Thor.
And I figured
yeah.
you would have.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of, like, when I left the theater, that's what I was felt reminded, like, I have a lot of nitpicks, too. I have a lot of things that I think the movie does really great, too, but on a whole, I'm sort of a meh on it. It's,
yeah.
It's not even close to the best Marvel movie. It's nowhere near the top movies of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very overhyped, which I don't, like, at what point does, like, a cultural event become a viral video?
Yeah.
And I wonder if, like, what is the trade-off? Because I feel like a lot of this movie's momentum is based off other people, like, thinking, like, this is a big event. Mm. And so it becomes, well, of course this is a big event. That's what everybody on the internet is saying. So it has to be. Mm. And I think, like, what part of it is, like, a viral video, like I said? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I don't think you can talk about this movie and accurately represent it if you do not talk about, like, everything surrounding it. Because it is, like, a big event for a lot of people, and it's become, like, a cultural thing. We had...
And I kind of hate that it is for these people, and it's not that great, and yet...
Amazing, yeah.
And it's like people are giving a crutch and a free pass, and... I did that to The Force Awakens, but I like The Force Awakens and I still do, but there's a lot of people that have serious issues with that.
Sure.
Then there's, you know, The Last Jedi, which I have serious issues with, and there's a lot of other people that do too. It's this weird thing, like, I don't know, do I really fully understand it because I'm not of that culture, or is it not that great and it's really not that great and a lot of people are giving it a free pass?
I think it's kind of a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B. I think you and I, as two very white dudes, like, if you're not seeing this live stream right now, or if you're just listening to us and you don't know us, like, we are white. We don't have the into this as many people are with Black Panther, so it's not the big cultural milestone for us, so it's a little harder for us to speak on it. I don't think this is a bad Marvel movie at all. I don't even think Thor is a bad Marvel movie.
I don't either, and that's why
I'd put this on the page with Ant-Man for me. Like, I think it's not middle of the road, but it's better. It's good. It's solid. It's competent. It's not a masterpiece. And if you want to break it down, like, I've seen so many people call this a masterpiece.
I know,
and
man.
A masterpiece means, like, an artist's best of craft. And if you're going on that, like, I think there are easily 6 or 7 better Marvel movies than this. I
and
think
that's
it's
just Marvel.
I think it's in the top half, but it's not even Ryan Coogler, the director's best work. Like, I love Creed.
I think Creed's awesome.
A perfect fucking movie. Like, I love Creed. Black Panther is nowhere near as good as Creed. It is not as competent, it is not as sure-footed, it is not as anything. And if you want to get into just specific details, I think this movie has a pacing problem, and it's not anybody's fault, but
bored.
Like the first, I think the first act is a lot of exposition, which I appreciate, because as a comic book fan, like, I'm happy that they go into the heart-shaped herb and the 5 tribes that are in and all this stuff, but it does make for, like, a very wait till the good stuff. I promise the good stuff's coming. And that is how the first 30, 40 minutes felt until, like, the Seoul casino stuff started happening. And then this James Bond tone started coming in. And it's like, oh, okay, this is what they're doing. And this is, they're selling into a nice tone. And then from that scene forward, I did not have many, many issues. I think the CGI and some of the fights are kind of wonky and cheesy and over the top. I think there is a little bit the villain Killmonger. this is going to be maybe something we talk about, because this is a villain that is being praised as the best Marvel villain that has existed. And I won't begrudge anybody who thinks that, because I do think generally since Phase 3 and Captain America Civil War started, Marvel's been on an upswing. I think their villains have been really, really good since then. We had Baron Zemo, we had Dormammu, and essentially Baron Mordo from Doctor Strange. We had Ego from Guardians. We had the Vulture from Spider-Man. We had Hela and, I guess, Loki technically are two villains in Thor Ragnarok. And then this one, Killmonger and Black Panther, I think they are in a swing. They are in an upswing. Like, their villains are getting better and better as we go. But I still don't think it's as good as Loki, for the very reason that Killmonger seems a little on the nose.
Okay.
It's not very subtle. And maybe this is because, I don't know, maybe for, I get really into movies, so like I dig deep and I really put weight into everything characters say. So maybe like the typical audience goer, you know, sees this and they think it's revolutionary and something different. But like I kind of saw what they were doing. So like when things were said, it did feel not subtle. It felt very direct. And it's not a bad thing, and sometimes villains are not subtle. They are very direct. It is the giving the megaphone to Malcolm X, essentially. Like, that's why Magneto works. Like, he's not subtle at all, but he works as a villain. And so Killmonger is not very subtle, but I thought he worked enough. But, like, would I say he's the best? I don't know. We've had, like, a really good string of villains recently. So
okay, so I have a lot of notes on this movie.
Please get into it, man.
Well, but you've brought up a fact of one of my notes.
All right.
But yours is a different take on mine. So oh, I'm glad we're going to talk about this.
All right.
I really like the Killmonger villain.
Yeah.
And what pisses me off is that this movie kills off two fucking great Marvel villains in a universe that is severely lacking in great villains. And then they flush two of their better ones that they've had down the toilet. Excuse me. I really had a problem with that. I think the Killmonger villain is so great, primarily because of the performance of Michael B. Jordan.
Agreed.
I fucking hate that you flushed Michael B. Jordan down the fucking toilet in one movie.
I think the reasoning that
Loki is such a great and memorable character is that he's had 10-plus movies to evolve and become well ingrained in our heart. Michael B. Jordan should have been given him this chance. He should have been fucking around more. And it's bullshit that you killed him off. He's a fucking awesome villain. And that said, I still have problems with him.
I agree with everything you said. I do think the reason everybody points to Loki as like the best villain of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is because he's been around.
Yeah, he's
been
there.
Giving time to develop
and
as
see,
a character.
Tom Holland's great. And
not
you just
Tom
get,
Holland. Tom Hiddleston.
It? Tom Hiddleston. It's fucking great, and you get more. Tom Holland is Spider-Man.
Yes.
I'm back, so like, I'm back on page. We're back now. But Tom Hiddleston, yes, and you get to love that character. Michael B. Jordan is a fucking great, relatable actor. He can make you feel for that villain and bring a new twist to it. The scene that fucking Hiddleston has done with Loki. Like, that could have been another great addition to this severely lacking main villain problem you have.
I will say,
and not even
I don't
villain.
Know I don't know how things are going to shake out, but we do have Infinity War coming around in the Infinity Gauntlet, and the Infinity Gauntlet can unwrite time essentially and bring any character back. So now as we get closer to the Infinity War, I don't know if characters that die are going to be dead anymore. I think they could come back very easily. But I am 100% with you on Michael B. Jordan really kind of nailing it. And like, yeah, his stuff's maybe, it's not subtle. And it's on the nose.
That's fine.
But
it's
gives
a
him a
book
character.
Movie, man. He
exactly.
Can be.
And it gives him character. And I will say one of my biggest complaints with the movie is T'Challa, the lead character, doesn't really have much to do, and he doesn't have a character arc.
No.
His character arc is essentially just passively learning things and then deciding, oh shit, Killmonger was right. And I think this all leads to Killmonger being a very, very interesting character.
And we could leads
to everybody around him being an interesting character. But T'Challa himself is not very interesting. He doesn't have much to do in this movie.
I agree.
And that's
fully.
A little disappointing.
I lit up every time Michael B. Jordan was on the screen. And then every time T'Challa was, it's like, okay.
I'd asterisk and say yes, but with like Shuri and Okoye. And some of the other characters, too, like anytime they came up, or even M'Baku, the gorilla clan, like that leader, like any
he was fucking awesome.
Anytime anybody except for T'Challa popped up, I was very interested in those characters.
I didn't really give a shit about Angelica Houston either.
I think she was underserved. I don't think she had much to do aside from mourn for her son and mourn for the father.
Yeah.
And that's really it.
It was pretty wasted.
But
pretty
Shuri, the sister, I really liked.
I liked Shuri to certain points. I have some problems with Shuri.
No shit. Right, what are some of your problems? Let's just get into it, man. What are some of your problems with Shuri?
My biggest fucking problem with Shuri is kind of a criticism of this movie as a whole. I don't know if this will have as much relevance to you.
Okay.
I'm very ingrained in internet culture.
Sure.
And fucking Shuri brings up this fucking incredibly dead meme. When her brother is wearing sandals and she has, I have a question for you. What are those? And I almost audibly groaned and like, really? We're fucking throwing in a what are those joke in this fucking movie in 2018? Really?
In fairness, every Marvel movie does this to some extent,
do
man.
They, like, this one.
Like, they have there's a Beyonce joke in Doctor Strange that's particularly bad and I don't find enjoyable at all. Ugh. I had no cracks. And I love Doctor Strange and
I was just like, if this movie had been made right now,
mm-hmm.
would there have been a fucking VR Knuckles joke about Uganda and Show Me the Way? Like, would they have shoehorned in another dead meme? Like, for real? Like,
yeah, they probably would. And that's...
I was like, God damn, really? That just happened in a fucking big budget AAA comic book movie?
What well, the fuck? And you really, forget, Kyle.
It really took me out, man.
Big budget Marvel comic movie has to appeal to the four quadrants. And this is what Marvel does and does so well, is it hits, like, just that right fine line of... meme-ness, things that are popular or whatever,
memes, yeah.
And then quality, like they're able to ride that just fine. Where that joke happened, and I was like, okay, I get it, and I didn't like it particularly, but it didn't offend me.
Also bothered me was just the rest of the audience just laughed so hard. I was like, God damn it, guys.
Yeah, well, also in fairness, that's because of the fucking Bloomington audience is just getting worse and worse every time we fucking go to these movies. God damn it.
How many claps were in this fucking viewing that you and I went to, Ryan? There were more than The Force Awakens.
No, but it was on the same level as Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 because I fucking tell you, that group in the front
is
the same group that was at Guardians Volume 2 that almost like ruined the emotional high points of that movie for me. Like, Guardians 2 would have worked on me and really got me, like, bawling and tearing up at, like, Yondu and this sad, like, Cat Stevens moment where they're playing, like, his... Actually, I don't think it's Cat Stevens at all. I cannot think of the song at the end. The father and son. It's not Jim Croce? Maybe it is Cat Stevens. I don't know. But, like, there's this big emotional moment and like I'm getting sucked into it, and then there's this middle-aged 56 year old white lady, I guess that's not middle-aged, I'm contradicting myself as I speak, in the front row just going like and just like really verbalizing her emotions, and it's like, yeah, bitch, I get it. Like, I know how you feel because I'm not an idiot and I understand how the movie's trying to make me feel. Like, shut the fuck up and let me enjoy this. And so, like, getting that in Black Panther was the same way. Like, it's like, I can't fault the movie for the audience being fucking asshole.
But you can fucking hate the audiences, and, like...
Oh, yeah, and absolutely I do.
And they clapped, yeah. Dude, there were fucking so many clap breaks during this movie, and it pissed me off. I'm like, God damn it.
You know what? All right, so it did and it didn't for me.
Even like the most minor things, like...
This is where the cultural thing comes into play, too. Like, there were cultural moments that are specifically built for the African-American community, and when they clapped, I recognized, and I knew, and I was like, I'm glad. Like, for real, like, no cynicism or any shit in my voice or meaning. Like, I am really glad you guys have this shit. I am so glad. And then there's another moment, and only those two fucking old white people clap, and it's like, this isn't the time for that. Like, this, why are you doing this? Like, this doesn't mean anything to you. Like, I can understand the representation, because Black Panther is like the big African-American Marvel movie. It's not just like a comic movie like Blade or what is the Red Letter Media movie they watch on Best of the Worst, like the Black Cougar,
Black Cougar.
Something, right? Like, it is like, hey, guess what? Like, this is the A-Leagues. Like, you're NASCAR now. This isn't Bush League. Like, this is the big time, and we have a big, oh my God. I am slurring real bad. I'm going to have to stop drinking. A big African immunity.
African American community.
African community really being embraced by like this big tentpole studio, and that's something fantastic.
But here's
and that's
my
something
point
that
on
should
it.
Be praised.
Yes, but at the end of the day, too. It's a big thing sucked up by the Disney Marvel zeitgeist that at the end of the day is looking to exploit a certain faction of people to make a fucking profit. This movie didn't get made as a favor to people. This movie got made to make fucking money.
It is.
And it has made a shit ton of money.
But that's
what it's there for.
Fifth highest opening weekend of all time.
This is not
right
made
now.
To fucking self-congratulate. It's made to make money.
And it is. And it's a big marketing ploy, and it is a consumerist endeavor. But that said, like, I do still think that I can take a step back from that, and I can appreciate it, and I can congratulate it. But when you and I were talking about this, I think you came up with, like, the most cogent point. I love this. And you're like, where was this fervor? Where was the support when, like, Moonlight came out?
Yeah.
Where was this when 12 Years a Slave came out? Like,
or,
all these other things. But
fucking
like,
the big hit of last year.
What was the big
Get
hit?
Get Out.
Get Out, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Or
and in
Ali,
fairness,
or,
Get Out made a ton of money, and it overperformed. But, like, if you're talking cultural events and, like, I mean, I don't know. Like, take cultural event out of it, even. Like, if you just go subjective, like, quality of film making integrity, Get Out and Moonlight are way above this. And I say Moonlight's the top.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, I don't know, that might get political. I'm just going to leave that out. But, like, I do think that's a more challenging movie to get into, because you're talking not just about African-American communities, but about gay, homosexual African-American communities. And that is something that is very taboo in that culture. But, like, you ask me, like, that's my favorite movie of the three. I loved Moonlight. Mm-hmm. I think Moonlight's fantastic. Maybe it's just because of Mahershala Ali. I love him. But I think that movie had much more to say about, like, the human experience, about the African-American experience, than Black Panther does. Yeah. And the only reason I think this is getting the attention is because it is the big blockbuster.
But that said,
like, big blockbusters should be embracing this other stuff, because it is interesting. It is different. Even if this is compared to Thor, if this is, you want to say this is the exact same quality as Thor, let's take that as, like, fact now. Like, Black Panther is on Thor level. I'm more interested in Black Panther, because at least it's something very different from what I'm seeing.
Sure.
And this is,
and a lot of the
this is where it's hard to separate, like, that from, like, the actual filmmaking critique here.
And, you know, I do want to move on to actually talking about the film. But the last thing I will say, too, is I get and I appreciate the fact that, you know, the difference between this and, like, Moonlight.
Yeah.
Is, you know, this is, kids can watch this, too.
Sure.
You don't want your children watching that. And that it's good to have representation of a positive black super awesome superhero for the children to look up to. But yeah, I mean, that's where my big difference is. But I want to talk about the movie for a bit.
Yeah, cool.
I do have my notes.
Yeah.
So I brought up the fact that we kill Michael B. Jordan. Spoiler alert. I also kind of thought that it was kind of like, you know, I like Andy Serkis as a villain. He could have had some staying power too.
Yeah.
And we kill him as well. Andy Serkis in this role is such a fucking scene eater.
He is.
Man, he eats the fuck out of these scenes.
He does.
But it's fun to watch.
It is. It is. But when he died, I was also not like super remorseful. When Michael B. Jordan Killmonger dies, I'm like, God damn it, you fucking had something
here.
Yeah,
you really did. It
like,
does
why
me
would
a lot
you
more.
End him off? Yeah.
But, and the thing, like, Andy Serkis' character is not a great villain, but he's great. Like, if he was working for Loki, who's working for Thanos, as that other great underling to watch instead of faceless bad guy.
And they did very interesting things with him. Like, they didn't make him the cookie cutter villain either, because, that first scene that you see him and Killmonger in where they take people out in that museum with the artifacts, I thought that was a great scene.
When he
and
tells
then,
them
like,
to run away, too?
He tells them to run away and then shoots them. And I'm like, okay, so this is just like stereotypical bad guy just shooting people to be bad and whatever. That's it. But no, he was like, no, you want them to disperse to make it not seem like it's an amateur or something. Like, you
no,
gotta,
to make it seem like
to
an
make
amateur.
It seem amateur. There you go.
You let them
but
body
like
they got lost. It's such a fucking great line of explanation.
They give it an excuse to make it like have sense, but also be kind of like this cool badass thing.
Yeah,
like,
it's really fucking. That was an awesome section of that. I was like, man, that's fucking great.
Yeah, anytime he
so
pops up.
They like took that concept that you've seen a billion times, and then they flipped it and they tweaked it just a bit to where you're like, that's completely new.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That worked
really
well. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this movie's not bad.
What else you got, man?
It's not great, man. All right. So, Michael B. Jordan, I didn't understand or get the motivation behind the character. And, like, I thought it was very flimsy, this entire revenge trip he went on because his dad died when he was 8.
It's more than that. It is... I don't have an issue with this. I do think it's more than that because he sees not only his dad die when he's 8, but that there are these African-American people or African people that have this advanced technology to have spaceships and shit. And yet, like, they're over here in this country, in America, without any of this technology. Like, why is Wakanda not helping them? And this is why I think the movie... It's also why I think people are losing their shit over this movie, because it's about the messaging. And I do think, and again, this is also something that you and I do not relate to, because we are not African Americans. We don't have to go through this struggle. But it is about like African Americans helping out Africa as like the poorer country. Like, we're over here not doing our own thing. And it's like, apparently this is something, I'll be completely honest, I was ignorant about. I knew nothing about this, but there is like kind of not like a rivalry, but there's this animosity between Africa, Africans, and African Americans, because there's this thing like you have all this wealth in America and yet you don't help out, or vice versa. And I think that's what Wakanda versus Michael B. Jordan is like, he got this glimpse into these high-tech Africans, and they have all this technology and all this stuff that could help us out. Yet we are over here in America. We are struggling. We are trying to catch up. We are just trying to survive, and it's fucking hard. So I get that. I get that. And all honesty, like, you put any kind of character in a movie and make them the villain because they are racially discriminated or... discriminated based on anything like that, and like I understand that, because I do feel I feel like that's enough. That was enough for his turn as a villain for me. I just don't have any issue with that. Okay. I can see why you think that, because I do think this is a movie that introduces like 30 concepts and characters and ideas all in the span of two hours and like maybe 20 minutes. It is a very dense movie for like everything they're trying to do. Like, you're not only getting like the Black Panther, But you are being introduced to Wakanda. You're being introduced to his mother, these tribes, this tribe, his sister, the Dora Milaje. You're being introduced to Michael Killmonger and Andy Serkis again and what he's doing. And it is a movie that is serving 20 different things at one time. And I think that's why it kind of feels a little maybe underserved in some areas, like Killmonger as the villain. I think you take out like M'Baku, you take out some of these other tribes, and give that running time to Michael B. Jordan and let him go, and I think you do have a better movie. But I don't think that was their goal. I think maybe this is cynical on my part, but like their goal was to flesh out Wakanda and the technology and why it is this big thing. So when Infinity War comes around, and it makes sense why Captain America and Bucky and all these people are trying to fend off Wakanda versus like alien invasion, you know? Sure. Right? We've got to make Wakanda feel like a character. And I think they spend a lot more time in that. And this is why I have an issue with the first act, because well, that first act is that all
maybe,
that.
That's maybe my problem with Marvel movies as a whole, is that at a point, they're not really standalones.
I don't view them as movies anymore, to be honest. I view them like a two-hour TV episode going
They
in.
Really are. And I appreciate what they're doing. I like the idea of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But, like, I feel this movie is just another key turn in this whole, like, this payoff I've been promised, where I would have liked to have seen more of, like, you know, give me more. I don't know, man.
And this is one of the most, this is one of the most standalone Marvel movies ever. Like,
for a long time.
It barely ties in to the MCU. Barely. Yeah. Like, even Doctor Strange, as isolated as that was, like, they at least have, like, I think a reference, like, one of the characters says, like, the Avengers protect the physical Earth, but you protect the magical Earth, or something like that. This movie doesn't have that.
I like that, because you reference, alright, so I have a lot of problems with some of the dialogue in this movie, too.
I do, too, because I do think it is very blunt.
Yeah, so one of the worst ones, one of the worst fucking offenses is, so there's the dude that's of the river tribe.
Okay.
That is talking, and so he's talking to Black Panther and his number one security guard slash general.
Is this Daniel Kaluuya from Out?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's his, she is his lover.
Yes.
And they're like in a
Which
relationship.
Is like, fucking, like, the only reason you know they're a lover because they say my love to each other, and there's nothing fucking else.
Dude, he fucking walks up and he's like, oh, my king, my friend. And then he turns to her and he says, my lover.
That's
it. What the fuck is this?
It's shorthand. It is cinematic shorthand.
You never see these two characters really together. The only payoff is later when you find out earlier that this dude, like, has a trained rhino. Later on, when he's riding this fucking armor-clad rhino to battle, he makes it charge at her for this rhino to only run up to her and lick her in the face, which is a nice scene, but all it is showing off, like, it's explaining, oh, these people are lovers.
Yeah.
And, of course, the rhino likes her. But, like, if you're a dumber person and you don't remember this 1-2-second scene, like, maybe show us more of this fucking relationship between these two people outside of just this expositional dialogue of, oh, you're my lover.
Well, that's what it is. It's so all dumb. Expositional dialogue.
So
and
dumb.
I think
so much expositional dialogue.
A lot
in this
of
whole
the
movie.
Setup of this movie is expositional. It's not natural. It is not show, not tell. It is tell. This movie is a lot of tell in the dialogue. And that's disappointing because, like, fucking Creed. Creed, man, that movie does no tell. It is all show. Like, I don't know. I think there are probably more emotional arcs in Black Panther that, like, are supposed to get the waterworks going and whatever. But, like, man, I fucking cried in Creed. Like, when he's doing the training montage and all the kids start riding the bikes behind him.
Yeah.
And the whole area gets into it.
Because they're around him. They're supporting him.
It's this quiet, very subtle scene. And Ryan Coogler, I don't feel like, was able to be as subtle as he wanted to in this Marvel movie. And I don't think that's necessarily, you know, a condemnation of it. I don't think it's the worst, but like, again, to say like, this is the best, it's like, come on, like, Coogler's done better. Like, even Fruitvale Station with Michael B. Jordan was better. Like, and much more.
You know, it wasn't better. It was Fan-Four-Stick with Michael B. Jordan.
That was not.
He's been in some fucking stinkers too.
No. Well, in fairness, it's like a trend because wasn't Chris, Chris Evans. I was trying not to say Chris Hemsworth. Okay. Chris Evans was also the Fantastic Four, or the Human Torch, and some really shitty Fantastic Four movies too. So
yeah, what it is about it, and then they get these awesome Marvel roles. Only Chris Evans got to continue to do his.
Yeah,
Michael B. Jordan got killed again, in his first movie. Do you think that's racism?
I'm holding out
that
hope
he comes back. I would love back for him too,
because I do think he's fantastic.
I will say though that if they do bring him back, let's hire a better fight choreographer, or maybe a different visualization artist.
This is interesting.
Because, man, these fights were fucking boring.
Did you think the Soul Casino one was?
No. The Soul Casino was the best part of this whole fucking movie.
Okay, I do too.
Wise.
I loved it.
But the car chase afterwards was fucking boring. It's fucking stupid.
I was okay with the car chase.
The only thing that made it cool was that Shuri was controlling the car from a fucking remote control thing back in Africa in the cool sand chair aspect.
I liked it, but I saw a movie three weeks before Black Panther, and that was Valerian and whatever planet.
The City of a Thousand Planets.
Thank you. Whatever. It's a horrible, not good movie. It does not add up to anything. But they do something very similar to that. They have like a whole heist scene set up in like multiple realities where you see one person interacting with like nothing. Like, just empty spaces, but, like, he's, like, these goggles that let him see into, like, this other reality, and he's doing the heist in there. And this back and forth between the things was very interesting. And then, so, Shuri doing this car thing back and forth, I was like, yeah, it's okay. I mean, I just saw better in a worse movie, like, and I don't know. I'm with you, because
all that born identity supremacy bullshit where they're filmed very up close and they're very full of shaky cam to hide the fact that your actors can't fight and choreograph, which I don't get because
weird thing.
Dude, they're fucking a full body, full face cat suit. Throw a stuntman in that and let him fight it out.
Yeah.
He can be a tiny Asian. You can fake that with camera tricks.
Well,
these fucking fight scenes, even the big one with the two cat suits in the train tunnel, God, that was boring.
Yeah.
It's like a bunch of weird neck holds and like some back flips, and that's really it.
I've heard so many people, being such a comic book nerd myself, like, I go into these movies and I'm just like blown away. Seeing Ben Affleck as Daredevil, like, and that movie, I was like, this is fantastic. I love it. Because, of course, like, it plays on, like...
Yeah.
It plays on me as, like, a nerd and, like, things I know. So when they do something that, like, even vaguely...
touches on it.
It gets me, you know? So, like, these movies have been shitty, and they've been around forever, and they've had these shitty CG fight scenes, and all these critics say, like, well, it just turns into a video game, and I don't care anymore, whatever. Yeah, this Black Panther versus Killmonger scene
kinda
at the end, it finally did it for me. This is the first time
exciting.
I was like, it took me out of it a little bit.
Not only that one.
I love the stuff on the surface
I didn't even care about that because it was like a shitty Lord of the Rings ripoff where like.
They had choreography and they had people on wires being thrown and stuff. Literally, like, you go underground into the vibranium mines. And anybody who has criticized this movie is right. Like, vibranium is a big part of the comics, but like in this movie, it is like the cure all for everything. Like,
it
anything is just like substitute
problem.
Magic for vibranium, and that's how they resolve anything. But you go into the vibranium mines, and they're fighting. It felt like
it's
PlayStation
so
2 era cutscene. I didn't care.
Yeah.
The only time I started to care was like the last 10 seconds of the fight where finally T'Challa takes his mask down and the big knife in the heart scene happens. And at that point, I didn't care about that. And so it just felt clumsy.
Not only that,
his death.
It's such a, it's very clumsy because he stabs him in the fucking heart, we assume. And then yet he fucking lives for another 10 to 15 minutes while he throws him over his shoulder and takes him out to see a fucking sunset or a sunrise on Wakanda.
Yeah, and this is where I'm conflicted because I love that idea, but it doesn't work with the train scene that just happened before it. Like, take out that train scene. Just take out that train scene and make the fight different, because I do really like the Wakandan sunset and how that ties into, like, the flashbacks of his father. You just don't earn that immediately after that train scene, though, necessarily.
It was all so fucking ham-fisted.
Oh, and, yeah. I will say melodramatic.
Yeah.
Not necessarily ham-fisted, but the dramatics are amped up to 10 or 11 in this movie. And even the soundtrack backs it. Like, if you remember the soundtrack is, like, almost... old Hollywood style. It is very like when the hero's on, it's like, and like when the villain comes on, it's like,
I don't remember that much,
but there are African, you know, beats to it, and the drums and like the tribal sound, but it also does really quickly go back into like the very dramatic Hollywood beats.
There's also I forget what I was gonna say now.
Sorry, buddy.
It's okay. So this is back to the fucking remote controlling of cars. Martin Freeman is flying a plane.
Yeah.
And he loses track of one of the enemy planes, and it turns out that it's flown back to confront him via some bulletproof indestructible wall, and it's firing at him, and they pull him out of the simulation like, no, you have to leave, you're gonna die. And he says, no, put me back in. I fucking rolled my eyes at that. I was like, come on.
About the fact of him going in, or the fact that he comes out completely unscathed?
That he comes out unscathed, that he looks and he like says, no, put me back in. This movie's so full of fucking dumb one-liners that don't... Like, I knew Martin Freeman wasn't going to fucking die. I knew T'Challa wasn't dead when he threw the fucking waterfall.
No, see, I thought he was going to die, and I was fucking bummed, because I was like, you have a great fucking character in this Everett Ross guy, and I genuinely liked what Martin Freeman was doing in this movie, and in Civil War. I want to see him continue, and I thought they were going to kill him off, and I was getting fucking disappointed.
I knew they weren't
going to
kill him off after they killed Andy Serkis off. They're like, I was like, no, they're not losing.
Oh, see, that's why I thought they would, because I was like, oh, they're just going to clear out the house. Like, they're going to make sure, like, the Black Panther 2 sequel is very lean and undercast.
No.
We're going to clear out some people.
Martin Freeman's he's going to be around for Infinity War. He's going to have a part.
Oh, see, I didn't even know that.
He's going to team up with S.H.I.E.L.D. He's going to meet fucking Nick Fury.
Maybe.
He's going to take a Coulson role. Him and Coulson might even...
Coulson.
I'd love to see him and Coulson in like a buddy cop.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
No, I mean, fuck Coulson. Like, whatever. He's doing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. right now. Whatever. Let him
is
do that.
Movie, is that even Keep still him. Going on?
It is.
Oh.
It's not great,
like,
and it is still going on.
The hot chick I'd from say... How I Met Your Mother doing a buddy cop.
Robin
yeah.
Schabotsky?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever her name is.
Sure. Do
a
buddy cop with those two.
I can't think of her actress name. Oh, well.
Who cares?
Oh, no, I know, because it's a fucking stupid name. Colby Smulders.
It is Colby Smulders.
I do know this, because it is a dumb fucking name.
Screen.
Goddamn.
So I thought, I mentioned I thought the fight scenes were pretty boring in this movie, especially the two of the challenge fight scenes on the fucking waterfall.
Aw.
Like, I just, none of them had weight or care. Like, they weren't even that cool. And then... When he knocked him out, I wondered why he didn't do... Have you ever seen the video of this African tribe?
Oh, shit. Where are we going with this?
So they have this big, like, annual event where the men fight each other.
Okay.
But when they get knocked out for some reason, like, all these other dudes come up and, like, put their hands in their pants and start jerking.
No, what? God damn it.
This is a real video. And I was like, man, why didn't they run up and jerk off Black Panther so he wakes up from being unconscious? Oh, man, I'm going to totally share this video on the Facebook, too. So if you haven't seen this.
Oh, my God.
Have you never seen this?
I've never seen this.
Dude, it's the weirdest thing. The dudes are, like, passed out in this weird thing, and these dudes come up and, like, cradle them, and they, like, unzip their pants, and they're, like, rubbing their dicks to, like, wake them up from being knocked out.
I don't know what this is.
I just wanted to see that happen.
I will contrast you. I will say I thought the casino and the ensuing car chase, I thought were both very, very well done and interesting. I did like the waterfall stuff, but not because the choreography was very in-depth or complex. It wasn't, but I liked all the stuff around it. Like, I loved, like, the tribes, like, on the different cliff posts, like, kind of dancing and chanting and all the stuff. Like, I kind of dug the ambiance of it more so than the choreography, but, like, to say I was uninterested in all the fights, it's not true. I was uninterested in all the fights in Spider-Man Homecoming, not this movie.
Okay. Whose serum makes them a stronger fighter? Captain America's
The Super Soldier Serum versus the Black Heart Herb. Not the Black Heart Herb.
The Black Panther
Heart
Flower.
Heart-shaped herb.
Yeah. Which gives them more strength and power?
That's interesting. I'd go with Captain America is probably having the more strength and power behind him.
I think so too.
But T'Challa has like the whole regal, like, I am the ruler of a nation behind him.
I wonder too, like, Steve Rogers was a very skinny, small, petite man. Mm-hmm. If you gave the super serum soldier to somebody like the Black Panther or Killmonger,
sure.
How fucking even more, like, would they be Hulk size?
Nah, it doesn't, like, physically make
you
stronger.
It did physically make him fucking huge. Think of Steve Rogers.
No. The Super Soldier Serum makes
it
huge.
That's what I'm saying.
The Black
Heart. If you gave that to somebody like Black Panther or Killmonger, would they become Hulk size? Because they're fucking jacked and ripped.
Well, yeah, because the Abomination came from the Super Soldier Serum, right?
Was that what it was?
Yeah, the Super Soldier Serum was used in Abomination, and same with Red Skull. The Super Soldier Serum just brings out your inner qualities and amplifies it to 100.
Wow.
So that Steve Rogers becomes, like, the ideal man is because he was a good man to begin with.
I love that.
And this is why I love Captain America, is because
he is...
Hugo Weaving
is a bloody skull.
He is. He is just a shell of a fucking man who is a monster, who has no skin, no humanity left in him. And that's why he turns into the Red Skull. And same with Abomination, because in The Incredible Hulk, they use the Super Soldier Serum on Emil Blonsky, and he becomes the Abomination, who is just a monster of a muscle, because that's what he wants to be. He doesn't care about anything else about being a hero or whatever. He just wants to be strong and powerful to fight this fucking Hulk.
The very best.
It is.
Like no one.
No one
ever
was. No one.
I like it. I think that's all my notes, really. It's boring-ish, because it was kind of boring, man.
Man, I am with you on the boring for the first 30 minutes or so. This movie really worked. I like, and it's weird because I love, like, the sand-based opening that kind of showed, like, the five tribes and, like, the sand coming out to make the five hands.
Yeah.
And, like, that symbolism I thought was good, but, like, the movie keeps going into that for 30 minutes.
I did have another fucking problem, man. Fucking dead dad? His fucking fake eyeball, dude?
Fake eyeball man.
It's a fake eye. That has to be a fake eye.
Is
it didn't
a fake
blink.
Eye or is he just, you know,
no,
have
man.
A messed up eye?
He might have had it's either a massive stroke.
Yeah,
that
that's what I thought
it was.
That was
a glass eye, dude.
I thought he had a stroke in
but
between Civil War and this.
But it fucking creeped me out, man.
I noticed it too, but it didn't creep me
dude,
out.
Dude, it bugged the shit out of me every time he was on screen. So bad. Really did, man. I'm sorry.
I'm not have an issue with
I like the other parts of those scenes where he was super drugged up in the dream world, and it was like this weird Aurora Borealis, not Aurora Borealis.
There you go.
Aurora
yeah, Boris. that purple hazy sky.
And all those Black Panthers, which are really just really
people.
Black leopards.
Okay, chill. Chill on your science facts. But they're all old Black Panthers. Yeah. They're all the previous Black Panthers.
Oh, I did also hate when Michael B. Jordan steals this cool fucking awesome mask to wear it for 1 minute later, and then that's it.
Aw, that's fine.
But they made such a big not representative fucking point of
anything.
Like, why didn't he just, like, if he just...
No, they didn't make a big point of it, because he says, he looks at it, he says, that just looks cool.
And he
just like
I'm really
this.
Feeling it. And
I'm feeling it. That's so, it. That's I all know. It is.
And then, like, that's going to be, like, his new persona for, like, the next half of the movie. And then, no, he wears it for, like, 2 seconds in the heist and then takes it off. It would have been cooler if, like, as they're walking away, as they fucking did this heist, he just grabs it. And then just show me that. They focus on it like it's going to be this big thing.
Why
like,
is that an issue? Because after... I don't know, because, like, really, this movie moves so quickly that you have that fucking scene where he puts a mask on and breaks Andy Serkis out. And then the next scene is him showing up in
Andy
Wakanda.
Serkis. No, he shoots Andy Serkis
oh, that's
in the
right,
next
yeah.
scene.
So, I don't know. You don't need the mask for him shooting Andy Serkis. It
no,
doesn't
my,
mean
my
anything.
My problem with the whole mask thing is that they, like, focused on it like it was going to be such a big thing. And then it just wasn't.
I guess I just didn't even pick up on that as, like, being a big thing. I know the character of Eric Killmonger from the books, and he has no mask or anything like this. Like, he does don the Black Panther suit at some point, but, like, he never has that fucking mask. So, like, I knew it was kind of a throwaway thing. I didn't get attached to it. It wasn't an issue.
So, Ryan, on a scale of 1 out of 10 Zoo books.
I love it.
All right. With the 10th Zoo book being the absolute best score.
Okay.
What would you give?
Fucking kicked it again.
Black Panther.
Honestly, it might not sound like it from the way I've talked about this movie, because this has been a largely, like, fuck everybody who's saying this is the best movie of all time. I'd give it, like, a 7.5 Zoo Books out of 10.
Okay.
I do enjoy this movie. I really liked it. I do think it's in, like, if you want to split the Marvel Cinematic Universe into halves, this is in the upper half.
Okay.
But I don't think it's in my top 5 Marvel movies. It's not in my top 10 comic book movies of all time. But it's really good. It is getting, I think, hyperbolic praise. I think people are being very, very generous because of the cultural zeitgeist around it. And I do think, again, representation is important. This is all great. Like, if at the very least you take any of the race stuff out of this, like just giving me like a different viewpoint for a comic movie, is always great. I will appreciate that. Do that. That's fantastic. There are flaws in this movie, in the narrative, in the characters. I don't think T'Challa is even close to the most relatable or even interesting superheroes from the Marvel Universe side.
Yeah.
I think he is easily outperformed by the villain in the movie and the
Absolutely.
Supporting characters. I think he is the least interesting character of everybody in this movie. I would fucking take a Shuri or a Koye movie over another Black Panther movie, because I do think he's not very interesting. His struggle is not there. He feels more like the Ariadne in Inception. He feels like the audience cipher. He is just there to witness events and react accordingly. Everybody else is much more interesting around him in this movie. And I think that's a disservice to the character. And if you want to go just on comic book movie, based on like the comic book and everything, like I wish they had done more with T'Challa. Like I do think that is a strong comic character. And they just didn't really nail it here. Mm-hmm. And I think the rest of the movie is interesting and good, as almost every Marvel movie is. I don't think Marvel's made a bad movie yet, and this is not a bad movie. But it's not like the highs of Marvel either. It is a very new and unique vision. I think structurally, there is stuff that happens in the second act, like Killmonger killing T'Challa, and then him stepping up to the throne, that I thought was very different and unique for a comic movie. But ultimately, I just didn't maybe click with this movie as much as some people are. And I would give it, again, a 7.5 Zoo Books out of 10 okay. Zoo Books. What about you, Kyle?
You know, I kind of shit on this movie a whole lot more than you, but we're actually pretty similar. I give it like a 6.
Mm-hmm.
It is easily not in the top Marvel movies. I rate it lower than you. I do put it on the level of like Thor. Not Thor the Dark World.
No. But there's not much that is.
it's just meh. I wish we would have gotten this movie earlier. So that
yes.
maybe instead
this
of,
felt like a phase one movie. This instead felt of like it should have came in, out with, around Thor and Captain America the First
Avenger.
Yeah,
I would have liked to have seen this movie where like the end of the movie is Michael B. Jordan killing T'Challa and we leave on that cliffhanger. Ooh. Give it some fucking weight, because you knew T'Challa's coming back when he dies halfway in the movie.
Yeah, it was not very surprising at all.
Give it some weight, and then we come back in Black Panther 2 is T'Challa like working with Thor and all those people to regain the mantle from Killmonger, who has brought havoc.
Fucking, you don't even need to bring the Marvel people in it. Just have him and M'Baku team up, like the white gorilla tribe leader. Like, have
any
them team up, and that's
cool.
The second movie.
Split this whole thing up, it would have worked better. Yeah. But
I will say, I think what this movie suffers from is something that you've talked about many times. I think this movie tries to do too much.
Yeah, it's got
in
bloat.
The span of one movie, it's a little bloated, yeah. And it really it's up there with Age of Ultron for me. It's something that I think I like, and there are fantastic moments in that movie, but it's bloated and it's a mess.
Could have done with
a little
some
bit.
More editing and some more chopping. There's a lot of fluff in this that doesn't need to be there. Again, I don't know how much of that is culturally relevant that just doesn't apply to me, but
it could
with my point of view that I've presented many times, a lot of bullshit that could have been cut out of this movie. So
I don't disagree with you.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm actually, you know, I didn't know how this was going to go, but it turned into more. We were both very similar on this movie.
Yeah.
Which I didn't expect. Yeah.
Shades of gray.
Yeah.
Shades of gray.
I liked it, man.
Mm-hmm. Also, best stained album there is. Shades of Grey.
Oh, my God. Nice stained reference, bro. Is that the second one?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, that is a pretty good album for the garbage that it is. I will agree. I like it, too. So. Well, what? Anyways, man, we're going to get the hell out of here. This is a long-ass episode.
Is it? Oh,
it's almost
shit.
An hour 30, so.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to shut the fuck up, everybody. Go see Black Panther, or maybe, here, just wait for it.
It doesn't matter. It's making its money. You don't have to support it.
Yeah. It'll be out, and you'll see it, and you'll be like, yeah, that was fine.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
It's better than fine. But
I'm Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
And we'll catch you next time. Eat shit, go die.